hello and thanks for joining us on a special election night edition of Chicago Tonight. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at.
It seems with the polls that they're neck and neck, you know, right now, so it could go either way, but at least I'm doing my part.
Election Day is officially here for voters across the country. We're live at the Chicago Board of Elections with the latest. Plus, Democrats and Republicans are offering two very different visions for the country. Our Spotlight Politics team on what to know as polls begin to close.
In Chicago, when you feed your ballot into a machine on Election Day, you're essentially putting it in a ballot box with two compartments.
And what exactly happens to your ballot after you vote? WTTW News explains. We kick off our election coverage tonight as some Chicagoans are still casting their ballot at polling places across the city. Polls opened at 6 this morning and will remain open until 7 tonight. Our Joanna Hernandez joins us live from the Board of Elections super site in the Loop for the latest on voter turnout. Joanna.
Brandis, I have to tell you, it has been really busy so far. We've been out here for a couple hours outside the Supersite in the Loop along Lake, and the line has wrapped around the corner. Same thing we've seen all week for early voting. But you know what? The people that we chatted with say there's something exciting about voting on election night, especially even though it's a rainy day. They said there's like some type of special vibe. Now we have here Max Beber from the Chicago Board of Elections joining us to break down and sharing all the details about our voting turnout. Now, Max, I know it's been a busy day for you. You said you're running on 2 hours of sleep. Tell us about what the energy has been like today.
Well, I'm not alone. We've got our hardworking poll workers behind us. They've been awake even longer than I have. And this is what we like to see. We like to see a high turnout on Election Day. Our last few Election Days have been pretty sleepy. There's good news and there's bad news when it comes to that. The good news is high turnout. People are fired up. The bad news is that we are seeing some lines. But I do want to remind voters, if you're in line by 7 p.m., you still will vote. As of last night, we were excited to see that we had over 330,000 people cast their early vote ballot. And as of right now, it looks like we're just over 890,000 ballots cast so far for the November 5th election.
And you know, we're talking about early voting. Was the voting a strong showing here in Chicago as expected?
It is. Presidential elections are generally our most consistent turnout. This is where we see 70% of the city's registered voters turn out. That's usually over 1 million voters. It looks like we're on track. Early voting was similar to previous presidential cycles, especially the quote-unquote regular years like 2016. 2020 is a little bit of a special case because it was the middle of the pandemic. Early voting was expanded. Voting by mail was expanded. We're seeing people turn out like they have in previous presidential cycles. So thank you for everyone's patience for all of these lines. We know it's not as exciting as a roller coaster at the end of these two-hour
waits.
Especially
to that it's raining outside.
And it's raining out. We're glad that that hasn't dampened spirits. But these last 2 hours, between 5 and 7 o'clock, that's usually where we see the big final push. So we're expecting to see a lot of people still churn out to the polls. And again, past 7 o'clock, those votes will still keep coming in.
And have you seen, has the board seen any patterns in the voting precincts when it comes to the turnout?
Yes. You know, we are seeing pretty high turnout citywide. Obviously, we've got some more popular early voting sites than others along our lakefront on our north side where there's public transit accessible. So we're glad that people who might have missed out on their chance to early vote over this weekend by seeing those lines have returned out today because we have vote centers like the Supersite that are open. And it's a Vote Anywhere program, too. Otherwise, we've seen all of our voters go to their assigned precinct polling places. Those have seen lines nice and busy. That's the way we like to see it.
And let's talk about the issues. We know sometimes that happens. Has there been any issues at the polling places? We know there was some technical issues with e-polls. Tell us about that.
There was a couple of glitches, unfortunately, in a few of our precincts this morning for our same-day registers. Those are people who are changing their address or updating their name or getting registered for the first time. Those poll books weren't immediately recognize them, so we moved them to paper. Thankfully, it was fixed within an hour at those handful of sites that we saw. We've also seen some issues just, you know, when we have two ballots, we've got to make sure all of our election judges are handing out the correct ones. Multiple reminders were sent to judges today. We've got split precincts in a lot of other locations. But beyond that, we're seeing just the regular type of issues and equipment issues that pop up, rather than the type of threats or issues that other places in the countries are facing.
Does that say you guys are working pretty hard?
So it's good, yes. I also think that it's up to Chicago. Chicagoans turn out and vote. They're patient. They're kind with each other. And that's what we're seeing today.
And last question, Max. One word to describe today.
Busy. And that's what we like to see. So compared to municipal and midterm elections, the last primary that only had a 25% citywide turnout. We're looking good. We're going to get over that 70%, especially when we have the two-week counting period for all those vote-by-mail ballots that are coming back today, as well as over the next 2 weeks that were properly postmarked.
Well, thank you, Max, for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll let you get back to work.
All right.
Now, I want to give a quick shout-out to all the poll workers back there. Hi, ladies. They have been working really hard and really lifting up the spirit. We've already seen about, like, 8 first-time voters, and they have been cheering them on. Now, just a reminder that polling places will close at 7 p.m., but as long as you're here by 7, you'll be able to cast your ballot. You can also drop off your completed mail-in ballot at any of your local polling places. And if you're still unsure where to vote, you can head over to our website, and we have all that information there. Now, reporting live from The Loop, I'm Joanna Hernandez. I send it back to you, Brandis.
Joanna, thank you. And, of course, our thanks to those hardworking poll workers. We know it's going to be a long night for them. Up next, our Spotlight Politics team on what to keep an eye on as polls begin to close. Stay with us.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
The latest pre-election polls still show a deadlocked race for president. And in Chicago, we've seen long lines, as we just heard, as voters look to weigh in on not just the presidential race, but significant races closer to home. Those include the first ever Chicago school board election and an Illinois congressional race that could tip the balance of power in the U.S. House. Here with their insights ahead of the polls closing are our Spotlight Politics team, Amanda Vinicky, Heather Sharone, and Nick Blumberg. Hey, gang. This is what we trained for.
We made it.
This is what we trained for, people. So, Nick, starting with you, as we've mentioned, we've seen some really long lines. We saw that video from Joanna's piece, the sped-up version with a line pretty much wrapping around the corner down the block. At early voting sites, though, there were very long lines there as well. What are the factors that might be contributing to this?
Yeah, I think that clip would still be running if our editor had not sped it up for us. Well, I think, you know, even though Illinois isn't a factor in presidential elections, obviously enthusiasm around voting for president drives voter turnout. We also have, as you mentioned, that first ever election for the Chicago School Board. But yeah, I mean, we saw those 6-7 hours. I was talking to someone who was in line for 7 hours at the Humboldt Park Library yesterday, people who weren't getting to cast a ballot until after midnight. Now, some of that is due to, you know, so resource issues. Do they have a big enough site for these early sites? Do they have enough folks working there? But clearly, people are really turning out. And, you know, as we heard, about 60% turnout as of 5:30 or so. So, you know, we're going to see a lot more added to that total.
And often you see election officials, they wish that there was this sort of energy when it was municipal election time or when there wasn't a presidential race going on. That's often when you do see this sort of energy. I will add that I think the early voting lines are particularly long because there's only 51 places in the entire city of Chicago. You're not going to see necessarily as long of lines or people that had trouble over the weekend. I'm not saying there's going to be no line, but you have a lot more opportunities to cast a ballot on election day because then you have to vote at your precinct. Those are places where anybody can cast a ballot. So if you're, you know, going around the city and late from work and trying to make that 7 o'clock deadline, you can still go ahead and register there. You can go to any one of those 51 sites. But if you're near your home, you might have a shorter line in one of those locations.
And it's a very long ballot with a lot of judges for retention. This is why we have the WTTW voter guide that has you covered with which judges are recommended for retention by the various groups and bar associations. That's part of this, too. And I think that that's why we've seen a number of people keep voting by mail. They enjoy, like me, doing it from the comfort of their own home, scrolling through the voter guides, and sort of doing that at their own pace rather than standing in line until after midnight. And I salute those who did, because let's be honest, I would not have.
Well, in fact, for some
reason,
we all know this about Heather Sharone. Yes. That girl gets up early so she can cover that mayor.
Yes.
So for some of us, it was take your kid to vote day today because the kids are out of school. on an election day. Amanda, what is that all about?
Well, so it is not always an election day, but we have had in recent years the General Assembly pass sort of one-offs, making the general election a state holiday. But sort of a caveat, because it's not necessarily you can have state holidays where, say, universities are closed. That is not the case in 2024 necessarily. But yes, public schools did have the day off. And in part, that is because schools often are used as precincts, as polling places. And in especially more recent years, it was seen as a sort of safety and security issue. If you're going to have random folks coming in and out of schools, they didn't want to have children in the classroom, although that, of course, can pose a little bit of an issue for parents, of course.
So you may have to figure out what to do with their kids. Exactly. Well, in my case, I just take them to the ballot box with me. Heather, you've been covering, as we've mentioned, this first election of the Chicago Board of Education. And I understand that Governor Pritzker made a little bit of news about that today when he made the regular stop at Manny's Deli on Election Day.
That's right. It's not an election day in Chicago if you don't have a bunch of politicos gathering for lunch at Manny's Deli. And there are always reporters there sort of peppering them with questions. Usually, they don't make a whole lot of news because it's election day, but Governor J.B. Pritzker did. He said that the Chicago School Board, which is right now made up of all appointed members, appointed by Mayor Brandon Johnson, shouldn't make any major decisions until those newly elected members are seated in January. And that would mean no decision on whether to fire CEO Pedro Martinez. That would be no decision on whether to approve a new contract with the Chicago Teachers Union and the union that represents principals. Those are big questions looming at the district. Oh, and how are you going to pay for those contracts? Minor details. Now, that brought a strong reaction from CTU President Stacey Davis Gates, who basically said, this is a local issue, Governor. Why are you weighing in on this? We're handling our business, which I think shows up, you know, just the tension that exists between these two allies, right? Stacey Davis Gates campaigned for J.B. Pritzker. They're all sort of Democrats singing from the same hymnal. It shows just how much is at stake in these races, which we will start to get results in a matter of hours. I cannot
and are
wait.
Are they allies anymore, truly?
That
because
is a good question.
Because I do think that this speaks to tension that is going to be coming in terms of demands made on the state budget. Further, I mean, the governor's comments today, certainly newsworthy, but this is sort of in keeping with his stance that he has shared, why he said he signed the law years ago, creating the elected school board, but it takes on an extra resonance because of these great decisions and because of all of the changeover at the CPS board.
And this isn't the only issue they've been sort of at odds over either, right? You mentioned how we're going to pay for all of these things. The governor has not necessarily supported Mayor Brandon Johnson's thoughts on CPS taking out a massive loan to cover its budget gap as well as the union contract. But then for Stacey Davis Gates' part to say this is a local issue, at the same time, are not the mayor and CTU asking the state for millions more money for funding of education, which is partially the state's responsibility.
Yeah, and not just millions, a cool $1 billion.
Just
they
a cool
say
billion
that, this, that the state owes the city under the education funding formula that the state itself approved. There's not an extra $1 billion sitting around in
what?
State coffers. That's just
that's for CPS.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
The rest of the school.
That's not how any of this works.
Well, and this isn't the first time recently as well that we've heard, you know, Governor Pritzker weighing in on issues, as you mentioned, around, you know, the school board, and I think the governor likely has some political cover here because, oh, by the way, a lot of the city council, a lot of Mayor Johnson's own allies are upset about the way things have been going, and I think the fact that we, you know, saw the very quick resignation of one of his appointees after some of his past social media posts and comments came
the
out.
The brand new board president.
Exactly. Yes. So I think it's not necessarily, it's newsworthy, but not necessarily a shock to hear Pritzker weigh in.
Yeah. Okay, so lots of open races on the ballot for voters, in addition, of course, to the Board of Education. We've got, here in Cook County, the open state's attorney seat, of course. Every state representative, naturally, and some senators, as well as members of Congress, because that's going to happen.
And, you know, Brandis, I'll also add, interestingly, other really significant races that are open for Cook County Circuit Clerk, and Cook County Clerk. So you have three open countywide races, and in part, that's because you had an incumbent lose, an incumbent pass away, and an incumbent decide not to run for re-election in the case of the state's attorney. So really three significant races there, even if they're not getting a ton of attention.
Yeah. Right, yeah. These are, yeah, big races, right? Like, I think the state's attorney, an important seat, obviously. We all remember several years ago when Kim Fox ran initially and what was happening at the time when Anita Alvarez lost that seat. Nick, though, Illinois isn't a factor necessarily in the presidential race. We pretty much know how that's going to swing, but could this election could determine control of the House.
House? It's not necessarily likely, but it is a race that folks are watching because, you know, the way Illinois' congressional districts are drawn, it's pretty much a sure bet either way. We've basically got, you know, three districts where there are Republican incumbents. Two of them aren't even facing an opponent on the ballot. The rest of the state, with the exception of the 17th district, are pretty safely Democratic. Now, we should say, you know, most political analysts think this race leans Democratic, but in the 17th district, you have first-term Congressman Eric Sorensen, a Dem, who is trying to hang on to his seat. As we've talked about, the common political wisdom is your sophomore run is when you're most vulnerable. And the Republicans have a seven-seat majority in the House of Representatives that they are trying to hang on to, maybe expand if they possibly can. So we've seen a lot of attention on this race. Retired Judge Joe McGraw, who is his Republican challenger, saying, you know, I've got a long career in, you know, the judicial circles. I can help clean up corruption in Washington. We've seen some attention on this race from House Speaker Mike Johnson. So it's not necessarily the highest of profile races, but certainly here within Illinois, it's the one that folks are really watching to see where this goes.
Other congressional races in Illinois that we're going to be watching.
Well, I do still think it's amazing that Lauren Underwood, after winning her seat by the skin of her teeth several times, is now considered so safe that I think this is the first time any of us have mentioned her name on a Spotlight Politics panel. And if you are an incumbent congressperson, that is a good place to be. And I think that just tells you how the suburbs, not just around Chicago, but nationwide, have changed. And I think that's one reason why, if Kamala Harris wins the presidency, it will be on the strength of voters who are also voting for congresspeople like Lauren Underwood.
Okay. So Illinois GOP, looking at the state a little bit more closely, efforts to cut into the Illinois Democrats' super-duper majority. Some call it a super-super majority. I don't think that's right.
Yeah, it's super duper.
No, right? It's a super-duper majority, and I'm sure that is what the Democrats in Springfield
it's in
are using as well.
Term,
it is a technical term.
Yes.
Any indication, though, that the GOP might be able to make a little headway on the Dems?
I mean, of course, they're certainly trying. They're doing what they can, particularly in the House, because, as you noted, all of the seats are up there. In the Senate, there's really only one race that is seen as particularly competitive. But yes, in the suburbs, and we're not going to get into the details there because the polls are still open. We don't want to influence any of that. But certainly Republicans have a tough order, mostly because they are being outspent. I mean, if you turn on your TV right now, you are seeing a lot of ads. Unlike neighboring Michigan, Wisconsin, you're not seeing a whole lot of Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, but you are seeing likely a lot of races for the Illinois House on your TV, on ads. If you're not watching WTTW, of course.
You're down.
Yeah, but and that is because Democrats have the money to send a ton of mailers. They have the operations, but Republicans are trying, and they say that they're eyeing, you know, let's say a handful of seats, about four or so. Still, that would give Democrats. They might not keep their super duper, but they would still be well within the majority and able to do that and still maintaining a Democrat in the governor's office.
So in the presidential race, both campaigns, of course, they've been making their final pitch to voters the last few days. Here is a little bit of what both Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump had to say as they wrapped up their respective campaigns.
Ours has not been a fight against something. It has been a fight for something. A fight for a future with freedom, with opportunity, and with dignity for all Americans.
Regrets, you always have regrets. I can't think of any, to be honest, to use her expression. I can't think of any. I ran a great campaign. I think it was maybe the best of the three. We did great in the first one. We did much better in the second one, but something happened. And this was the best. I would say this was the best campaign we ran.
Okay, kids, what do we make of their final arguments?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, everybody has been talking about the gender gap. You know, we have not heard Vice President Harris really lean into sort of the fact that she could make history as the first woman to be elected president. But we've also heard the former president make sort of paint a very dark picture of the country, that if he is not elected to a second term, which would be the first non-consecutive term for a president since the 1800s, that the country is in peril, and it's just too stark approaches two stark sort of depictions of the country. And, you know, it's not clear that we're going to know really tonight or really by the end of the week, just with, you know, depending on how close it is.
And we really should emphasize that and it's not necessarily because anything nefarious is going on. It is just because that is how votes are tabulated, particularly in some of these battleground states where they're not able to count early votes. And you have had Trump, despite today, once again, sort of disparaging the notion of casting early ballots, nonetheless, Republicans encouraging their party loyalists to do so, to cast those votes by mail. And so that's why.
Yeah. And we do know that turnout is up huge in the swing states, Pennsylvania and Michigan. We have officials saying that it is off the charts, I believe the Secretary of State in Michigan said. And the more ballots are cast, the longer it takes to count all of those ballots. And I think that we all learned a very clear lesson in 2020, that it takes what it takes, and that our elections, based on everything we've been able to report and seen, are safe and secure, and we'll be watching closely.
But back to your point as well about, you know, Vice President Harris not really running on, you know, the issue of gender, I do think that is still something that's motivating a lot of voters. I mean, we've seen in the battleground states, you know, 10 to 12 point gender gaps in early voting results based on some of the reporting and analysis that's out there. And I think you've seen a lot of her surrogates making, you know, making the case, as this being an issue of history, as well as obviously, as we've talked about many times, the Dobbs decision motivating some, you know, women voters out there, not exclusively women voters, but I think it is a big issue for folks. You've also seen on the flip side, some of the language that's been used by Trump, by his supporters, denigrating Harris, denigrating Nancy Pelosi in very gendered, very offensive terms, an Elon Musk super PAC, you know, running ads referring to Harris cheekily as the C word, and the C word is communist. So there's a really stark difference between the way that one campaign isn't necessarily talking about gender, but it's clearly on the minds of a lot of their supporters, and the way the other campaign and some of its surrogates, or at least outside supporters, are tackling the issue in pretty stark terms.
You've also got the Democrats telling women, you know what, your vote is your secret. You can go in there and vote for whoever you want to, and you can come out. You don't have to tell anybody, which there are lots of thoughts about that that we don't have time for at the end of this here spotlight. Thanks, everybody. Happy election night. Best of luck, Amanda Venicky, Heather Cherone, and Nick Blumberg. Thank you. And check out our website throughout the night for updates on local and national races. We'll also have live election results as polls begin to close. That is, of course, at WTTW.com/news. Coming up, what exactly happens to your ballot after you vote? Amanda's going to explain next. So you did your homework on the candidates, you found your polling place where you may have waited in a long line, but what happens to your ballot after you cast it? As part of our Emmy Award-winning series, WTTW News Explains, Amanda Venicky explores the journey of a Chicago ballot.
You've done your research, made your choices, cast your ballot. Then you cast a couple more on behalf of your dead relatives. Tight. It's the Chicago way. Just kidding. So, you earned your I voted sticker. What happens next? In Chicago, when you feed your ballot into a machine on election day, you're essentially putting it in a ballot box with two compartments. Ballots with write-in candidates stay separate in one compartment. Election judges will count these by hand at the end of the night. All other ballots are scanned and counted by machine. Lucky for the judges, otherwise it would be a lot of counting. Once the polls close, the machine spits out a tape of the totals, like a receipt. Election judges work in bipartisan teams at each precinct to keep an eye on everything. They certify things went smoothly and that ballots weren't compromised when they sign the receipts and other legally binding documents. Then they use a cellular device to transmit the totals downtown to Election Central. That's when we begin to see the results. But it's not all high-tech. The paper ballots that got fed into the machine don't get tossed. They go into a big blue hard shell case on wheels, packed up with a pretty bow, or rather a security seal, to ensure nobody messes with the precious cargo. From then on, anyone who touches the case has to sign a chain of custody form, like evidence in one of those TV procedural dramas. Thousands of suitcases from every Chicago precinct go to a warehouse where they stay, signed, sealed, delivered, for at least 22 months, just in case. Some will be opened and reviewed as an extra check. By law, a state audit recounts votes from 5% of all precincts. Procedures differ slightly for voting by mail, early voting, and those who vote from overseas, but not by much. All legitimate ballots are counted, kept secure at every turn, and end up in the same warehouse for safekeeping. So, wear that sticker with pride and peace of mind. Happy voting.
Happy voting indeed. You've got an hour left. You can watch more of our Emmy award-winning series WTTW News Explains on our website. And that is our show for this Tuesday night. But you can stay right here for PBS NewsHour's special election coverage, which kicks off in just minutes. And check out our website for live election night blog coverage for continuous updates on local, state, and national races, as well as election results as polls begin to close. Again, that's at WTTW.com/news. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its 20 attorneys recognized in the 2025 edition of the Best Lawyers in America.